Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Not
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Oh, man. It was just the beginning of everything for me. Let's just say that. If I was to describe it, I would say the beginning of everything. The beginning of the limelight, the beginning of my voice, the beginning of the stardom track. And I learned a lot, and Hair Radio carried me so far. I just can't describe the excitement and how happy and how Hair Radio changed my life.
Oh.
Hair Radio changed my life. And it's because of Hair Radio that I was able to continue to push through, able to continue to build and go forth.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
How I started the Hair Nation Expo event and the whole experience. I'm Carrie Hines, and I've always been very interested in live hair events. It is the most, it's been an incredible journey, and I owe a great bit of it to attending and participating live events, whether it's the International Beauty Show at the Jacob Javits Center or some other hair event, or even Brunner Brothers down out of Atlanta, or you know, the different cities that they tend to have the big hair events. I like everything about the live hair shows, whether it is a small meetup or gathering or at a park, or we've done just about so many different live shows. I've participated at other folks' shows and events. I've been a guest, I've been a speaker, I've been a vendor, but my greatest joy comes from being able to create my own brand of events under the banner Hair Nation Expo, and which I still own to this day. And we were thriving before the pandemic. The first Hair Nation Expo was back in, say, 2017. And I have done other hair events prior to that, smaller satellite type of events that were under different banners, different titles. But the Hair Nation Expo, I tried to do it in Harlem first. I wanted it to be part of the experience, the inner urban experience, and to reflect that. And so that didn't work out so much on 125th. I did look at the state building in different places up there. So what ended up working out for the very, very first Hair Nation Expo, and again, what makes Hair Nation Expo different is that it is all about the professionals as well as the folks who are not professionals. But the enthusiasts who are looking to be given almost the same amount of education as the professionals at these Hair Nation Expo events. And so that first one happened, as I said, in 2017, and we were able to get it going out in Queens, New York, and Jamaica, Queens. I had never done an event in Jamaica, so this was the very first one. And the Jamaica's a section, again, in Queens, New York, and Queens is one of the boroughs, for you guys who are not in the New York area. And so that event was very special to me. It was one that I pretty much had coordinated and planned. There were several vendors there. It was quite successful. They had a beautiful stage. We were able to put on a light fashion show there at that time, and it was just very rewarding. I really loved it, and we, for most of my events, I usually tie them into some kind of charitable outfit or organization, and at that event, we invited the New York City Mayor's Office, who dispatched a gentleman to our event to talk about domestic violence. And so on, preventing that and recognizing it for the hair salons and for everybody. And so that was absolutely priceless. And so that's what I remember most about the very first Hair Nation Expo event in 2017. Then we came back 2 years later in 2019 with a huge sprawling event at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey. I was so very proud because it was the very first three-day live hair event in the Northeast for people of color. And so that still stands to this very day, so I can be very proud of that. It was the very first live hair event on the actual boardwalk inside the casino of, inside the former casino. It's a hotel called the Showboat now. But yes, it was the very first live hair event. And even looking back at that and getting that on point and up to speed and all of that was just an extraordinary experience. It really was. And I don't know if I'll ever have that experience again. It was just rewarding, and it was a very special time. And even at the event itself, we welcomed some heavy hitters. The gentleman who started Hype Hair Magazine, John Blassingame, was one of our speakers there. Bernard Bronner from Bronner Brothers and Upscale Magazine. And, of course, the great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker, Alelia Bundles, was there as well. All of these folks spoke at my hair show, and of course we had lots of vendors and folks who participated, and so that was the beginning. I look forward to continuing Hair Nation Expo as we kind of move forward, and I'm Kerry Hines, and stay tuned.
Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
Living crazy, that's the only
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now with me, I have a very, very special guest. We're talking about industry superstar and legend, an absolute legend in the hair and beauty industry, the one and only Mr. Bernard Bronner. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's your first time joining us.
And it's such a pleasure to join you.
Thank you. So now hold it. Let's jump on in. And I have to tell everybody, you guys are hearing some of the wonderful background sounds here in New York City because we are actually out and about. Just had a wonderful opportunity to sit in one of our favorite new places here in Manhattan. So, Bernard, though, I want to talk about Bronner Brothers. Let's just kind of bring everybody up to speed. Now, you guys, of course, we're looking ahead to what's next for Bronner Brothers. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. This is year 75 for us, and we do several things as a company. The number one is we make products. We make the BB family of products, which is Tropical Roots, African Royale, and just BB products. Then we do the world's largest multicultural hair show every 6 months. And I also, on the side, do Upscale Magazine, which is one of the few magazines. It's only Upscale and Essence now that are on nationwide newsstands. So Upscale is 31 years old now, and due to COVID, we had a little postponing of issues, but we are now back on the newsstands all over the country, and we look for a great year for 2022.
Wonderful. Now, talking about the amazing Upscale Magazine, as you just so clearly pointed out, what's one of the biggest things that you want the message to be about Upscale and reaching out to the community?
Well, I'm second generation Bronner Brothers, and the first generation, my daddy always felt like, he always used to say that a community is no better than the people in it. So he did all kinds of things to help develop the people in the community. And as a second-generation leader, I've taken that even further, and I love helping the community. One of my pet things is creating jobs. I've always felt like that is the worst thing can happen, a person lose their job. I've always said that once you lose your job, you next will lose your house. Then they'll come take the car. Then the family will leave you. The kids will leave you. And if you can't even afford to feed the dog walks away. So
wow.
you don't want to have to be in a situation where you have no financial income coming in. So I have always loved providing jobs and helping people become entrepreneurs and finding that they can just, I mean, it's just a joy in helping people. So that's one of the missions that I have now is, like I say, I want to be known as the person who understands what our community needs and gives it to them. And like I say, my number one thing is providing jobs.
That means so much right now. I mean, you know, we're coming out of this period, let me just put it that way. We're forging ahead with amazing new opportunities. I see so much on the horizon for Bronner Brothers, for Bernard Bronner, and all that you're doing. And I'm just very excited. And I'm going to announce this. I'm going to just go ahead and put this out. We are launching Upscale Magazine Radio. And you heard it right here, folks. What can you tell us, Bernard? What do you think this is going to be about?
I think it's wonderful. So we're going to be working together and launching for 2022 Upscale Radio. And it will have a lot of hair radio interviews and a lot of hair radio, hair celebrities.
Exactly.
And it's going to be just awesome for 2022.
Awesome. Can't be any better than that. Now, I just want to say this, Bernard, and I appreciate you taking time. We never have a whole bunch of his time because you're a very, very busy man, and I so appreciate this in-person meeting, which we do so rarely here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But what can you leave us with today? What words, like, you inspired me as you, you know, I said this off air, I said it on air. Bronner Brothers certainly has led the way. None of us really would be here. You know, you guys are a big part of the whole entire black hair industry. But what kind of advice or inspirational words you can leave us with today on the Hair Radio Morning Show?
Well, the biggest thing is we have all survived 2020, which means we are now tough and we can survive any and everything. So now that we've got all of the experience and have lived through a pandemic, we're tough. And I know Bronner Brothers and Bernard Bronner, we are going to show out for 2022 because we ready now.
All right. Yes. On that note, I want to thank you so much for being with us, and we look forward to all that you guys are going to be bringing to the table, as always. The one and only Bernard Bronner from Bronner Brothers. Who in the world doesn't know Bronner Brothers? Thanks so much, Bernard, for being with us.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
my name is Ajak Deng. I am 27 years old, and I've been modeling for 7 years now, 8 years.
Hi, my name is Nya Kim Garowich. I am 25 years old, and I've been modeling for 2 years.
Hi, my name is Leomi Anderson. I'm 24 years old, and I've been modeling for nearly 11 years now.
Hi, my name is Kadia Diaz. I'm 21 years old, and I've been modeling for 2.5 years now.
This one girl asked me one time, she's like, is it true that when black people take a shower, or like the dark black people take a shower, the water don't touch your skin? Like you don't feel the wet of the water in my skin, on your skin? And I was just like, huh? This doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you get in the water, you're going to get wet, despite of your black, yellow, purple.
One of the instances is where I was waiting at a casting for 3 hours. They'd seen my face. I'd been sitting there amongst the other girls. And when I finally got into the casting, they say to me, sorry, we're not looking for any African people. And I'm just like, well, that's 3 hours of my life I can't get back because of you, kind of thing. And I was just literally like to them, you know, if you're going to be racist, let me just tell you one thing. My heritage is Jamaican, but we're all from Africa. And they're just like, ah. I'm just like, really? Like, it's the ignorance was just like so shocking.
I had so many crazy experience with hair and makeup.
Being backstage and not having someone to do my hair right or do my makeup right makes me feel like I'm not represented. Like, no one just really cares about my skin color or my hair type.
Before I even had cut my hair like this, I used to have an afro. You know, you could do a lot with an afro. You know, you could either braid it or straighten it or curly it, but it was like, we don't know what to do with your hair. The texture is too nappy.
I always have to travel with a brush and gel. Because when I'm backstage, sometimes I have to do my hair or do my makeup. Well, it's not that they don't provide someone to do it, but they won't do it the way I like it, or it won't be, you know, what I want.
But I had an experience in Milan where I went through hell, basically. They glued in a whole head of extensions, they ripped them out, they blow dried my hair, they straightened it, they put hairspray, and then literally he was just about to put like a really water-based gel on my hair, and I just turned around and I said, if you put this in my hair, it's going to make my hair go frizzy. And he literally just started going off, like calling me like the B word, telling me, who do I think I am? Who do I think I'm talking to? He can end my career in 2 minutes. And this is when I was 17 years old and it was in a room full of people. I felt so embarrassed and I was literally in tears. And that was when I really realized that, you know, being a black model is a completely different experience.
I was at this campaign and backstage they didn't know how to do my hair. So they felt like, basically they had a white hairstylist and this guy didn't know how to do braids and he just like parted my hair and did whatever he wanted with it and I wasn't happy with it.
Backstage, yes, absolutely, because not everybody has the correct products to use on dark skin, or maybe they do have it, but they don't think of the whole undertone thing, because, you know, I have a red undertone, even though I'm darker than most.
I feel like often black models have to redo their makeup, and I remember all, like, the black models coming to me because I was the only one with my makeup bag, like, Leomi, I need some powder, the stuff that they're putting on me, they're trying to say it's translucent, but it's white, like, help me out here. So, yeah, it's an instance that I've come across numerous amounts of time.
I feel like it's unfair because white models don't have to do it. I've been in a lot of backstage and it's only the black models that do that.
Most of the time, if a makeup artist doesn't know what they're doing with my skin, I just kind of want to be the teacher that they never had. Bring out my own, my little, you know, makeup bag and just say, you know what, as you can see, this is the same, but this has more red in it and this is just gray. So it's going to make my skin gray. But if you want, you can mix that with this and then we'll get the perfect color of mine. And it's like, oh, most of the time they listen. Most of the time they want to fight you on it.
When I would go to a show or photo shoot, you know, and then I would sit at a makeup artist's chair, you know, and expecting them to, like, put on a foundation, highlight, you know, concealer, you know, all the type of, all the stuff you do for makeup. And it's like, as they never have any products for me. You know, I was like, we don't know what to do. And it was like, oh, this is my favorite line. You don't need foundation. Your skin is so flawless. Like, no, you don't have the foundation. It's not that my skin is flawless.
In New York, a lot of makeup artists know how to do black skin, so we never really have that problem in New York. In London, they kind of are very well advanced out there, and they know how to do it. It's when you get to Milan and Paris, or like Spain, that they're just like, oh my god, I finally got a dark skin girl, so here's my darkest makeup and I've never used it. Like, that's not right.
Why is it that if a white model says, ah, you're hurting me, it's like, oh, sorry, babe, but me, it's like, oh, your grandma must have, I'm just like, no. My grandma has a nice soft touch, lies, because everyone knows that your grandma hurts your head, but she gets the job done, unlike them, so it's fine, you know?
This guy goes, do you taste like chocolate if I lick you? I was like, what? He's like, do you look like you taste like dark chocolate. So I just want to see, can I lick your hand? I was like, no, you're not going to do that. And he's like, why not? I just want to taste it. I was like, lick your hand and you tell me what that tastes like. And he did. And he's like, it tastes like skin. I'm like, that's what mine tastes like. Have a good day.
The thing that really drives me is the fact as well that I don't know what the future holds. Every single day, every single season, we're seeing so much progression for young black women within all industries. So I'm like, if I give up now, who knows where I could be? I could be like the Oprah Winfrey of the fashion industry.
Brands are just trying to make black girls this trend, and it's not a trend. It's diversity, it's representation, it's everything. And it's sad, it's very sad.
I want to leave a good mark in the industry. I want to do something that's going to change a lot of people's lives, and that's going to help the world, humanity. So the future is bright. The future is promising for us, and I think we all just have to stick together and work together, because it's the only way we can make it further.
You're listening to The Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today we have a very, very special guest with us. Her name is Peggy Dotson. Now, she is the woman behind UBC TV Network. The Hair Radio Show would like to welcome Miss Peggy Dotson. Welcome, Peggy.
Hey, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, listen, first of all, it's great to have you here. Now, we need to tell everyone what the UBC TV Network is.
Okay. First of all, Carrie, I'm so excited about being here. I am your fan. I think you're awesome. It's just really great. Well, UBC TV is actually, it started out as a concept for a TV network, but it has evolved into a broadcast multimedia company with different divisions and things like that. So it's sort of like a hybrid between a cable network, broadcast network, and a technology company, online company like a Netflix. So it's sort of like my own creation because of where we are in the industry. You know, cable is there, but it's not there like it was before. People are unplugging, and so people want the opportunity to view things on different platforms. By the way, which I have, you know, I'm well ahead of my time because I was pushing this years ago, and
many years. We're not going to say how many.
It's true. I know we don't want to say how many, but you know, and then people want to see original content. Content is still king and queen. So that's what basically we're all about, is original content that is distributed over multiple platforms, including, you know, online, live streaming on demand, cable, live events, and different other little, arms of it, which I think we'll get into as we move forward. But, that's what it's evolved into. Not just a network,
terrific,
but more than that, yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? We are going to get into every facet of this, Peggy. We really are.
Okay.
But let's go back a little bit. Let's start at the beginning. Now,
share with
our fans, tell everybody where you are from and where you take care of business these days.
Okay. Well, the planet Venus. I am actually, I feel like an alien. I'm actually originally from Arkansas. The great
Arkansas.
State of Arkansas. Yeah, Bill Clinton and Little Maya Angelou. I'm from Stuttgart, actually. Stuttgart, Arkansas, which is really in between Little Rock and Pine Bluffs. I grew up down south. And the first half of my life and the second half of my life, there's a third and a fourth part of my life that I haven't lived yet, so it's not over yet. But the next phase of my life I grew up in is in New York City. So, I am from Stuttgart, Arkansas. My mother and father were entrepreneurs. God bless them. They're my mentors. They, my inspiration. They both are with God, and they passed away. They are with me every day. My father was a master plumber, and he was that was revolutionary at that time because you don't have very many African Americans who are master plumbers in Stuttgart, in a town, Stuttgart, Arkansas, which was racially divided. And my father and mother had businesses that catered to white people. I mean, we, at that time, like you said, in the South, I was growing up, the Civil Rights era had started, and the Black Panthers and all that kind of stuff, but we still had a lot of racial division down there. And, and it was very, it affected me and helped mold me, and I started working with my daddy. I did a little bookkeeping stuff at age 10 in his plumbing company. And it just taught me discipline. And then at age 14, I was working with my mother. My mother had a restaurant. So we had a restaurant business kind of in our family, and I learned the restaurant business. I was on the grill cooking. I was waiting tables, and I answered the phone, to take orders, and I answered the phone for my daddy, Dawson's Plumbing Company, and when the clients called and all that kind of stuff. So at age 10, up to 14, I was, learning the how to be an entrepreneur. And it's so important, I feel, that we have to teach our children at a young age about money and entrepreneurship, because it really has helped me to – it has helped mold and shape me and helped me to be independent, a self-starter, and helped me get through a lot of adversity that I would not regularly have probably gotten through the way that I have, and I landed on my feet, because it does teach you discipline.
Yes, absolutely. I'm quite amazed when I hear a story like yours in which both of your parents were entrepreneurs. And you helping out because it does. What that does, in my belief, is that it channels that wonderful. It just teaches you without having to have been taught, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's almost like osmosis. It just goes right on in there, and it's there. It's there, and you don't even realize it's there. And then, as you start getting older, it kind of harkens back to that great foundation and introduction and fortitude that you just happen to have picked up along the way. It's just, I'm blown away by that something that you were able to get from your father and your mother. And look at the way that I look at it. Look at the legacy that you've been able to, to continue.
Yeah. Also, my spiritual connection to God, and my mother and father were very into the church, it has extended through me. I'm a very spiritual person. It has pushed me to expand and learn a lot about different religions and cultures and things. But mom and daddy, my mother was like a mother of a church, and she was a gospel promoter. I met the Mighty Clouds of Joy, Reverend James Cleveland, at a young age because my mother, she put on gospel. She was a gospel promoter. And my mother was amazing. I'm telling you, my father was amazing. And they are both I learned a lot about that, and it helped me in my music, because I have another part of me that's part of the music industry and singing and all that. And
you do have a beautiful voice for you guys out there. So maybe you'll give them a little treat, in a little later on in the interview today.
We'll see about that.
I'm putting her on the spot, everybody.
I know.
So you guys, Yeah, but I have to tell you, it is amazing. And so these are things that are just, you know, like I said, they're quite remarkable. And all these wonderful things help to shape the experiences that you have and that you have under your belt, and kind of pushed you towards this wonderful, extraordinary entrepreneur in your own right. And, and so we're going to get into that a little bit. So, okay, so you grew up in Arkansas, and then you kind of, your family kind of moved up north to New York somehow, and you kind of, how did that come into play? And then what was, where did this wonderful inspiration for this wonderful network come from?
Well, you know, my family, no, I'm daring. I'm a risk taker. My mother did not want me to actually go to New York, and but my father was an adventurer, and and you know they were still in Arkansas. I eventually moved to Texas, but there was one time,
a big difference between New York. We're going to be fair big difference between you know, New York and Arkansas, especially probably in those days.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the time, you know, In Stuttgart, Arkansas, I did a whole bunch of stuff. I was like first runner up Miss Teenage Black America for our region. Yeah, I my mother put me in pageants, and I ended up singing a lot and you know, competitions and things like that. Like I said, at that time in high school, there was still segregation, and there was a group called the Ricelanders that I could not audition for because I was black, but. Wow. So I couldn't get in there, but as far as vocally, I could out-sing all of them. I'm not bragging or anything, but like that. But my choir instructor, Jim Sparks, bless his heart, he took me aside and he taught me how to sing. I started out with Billie Holiday songs and things of that nature, and so I just ended up, long story short, doing a lot of stuff, and then ended up getting two or three vocal scholarships to University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. I got a music scholarship, a vocal scholarship, so I went there. I also got offered to go to West Point Academy at the same time. That same year, West Point became men and women together. It was just men, and they were letting women in because I was also very civically. I did a lot of stuff. I was student body vice president and girls state, so I got nominated for a lot of stuff. So I ended up taking the music thing because my family's very music oriented and all that, and went there, landed the head of musical shows and things like that. I was auditioned for a great a cappella group and got into that. So we ended up going taking a trip to New York, the theater group I was involved in. I was actually playing Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar, and then I was in The Wiz. So I played Dorothy. I was in Dorothy and The Wiz, so we at the same time we went to New York, I was Dorothy and The Wiz, and Diana Ross was filming Dorothy.
In the movie, that's right?
She was filming it, and that's the same year I met her, and we have a family affiliation, the Ross family.
Wow.
And from Detroit, my family on my mother's side is from Detroit, the Rosses, and so they worked at Motown and blah blah blah, and you know, so I wanted to meet Diana Ross. She was my inspiration, and I ended up coming to New York and on this theater trip, and fell in love with New York, and did not know how I was going to meet Diana Ross, but I was here, and I found my way to Queens, to the studio there, with a friend of mine.
Is that the studio in Astoria, Queens?
I found my way to Astoria, Queens, to that studio, and I don't know how I did it, but I told everybody that I wanted to meet Diana Ross, and I did it, and I took the train there. Never been to Queens before in my life. Got on the train from Arkansas with one of my friends, and we went there to the studio, and she couldn't go in. I was the only one that could come in to meet Ms. Ross. And so I got a chance to meet Diana Ross. I met Sidney Lumet, who's the great famous director.
Yeah, of course.
And I met the Michael had just left because he was the scarecrow. He had left the set. So I didn't meet Michael Jackson, but I met
oh God, not the scarecrow, but the Tin Man.
Yeah,
I think it was. Anyway, I met the other guy.
Yeah,
because Michael was the scarecrow. I met the Tin Man. It was, you know, it was really awesome, and it was very inspirational. And she was
so.
She was
this is when they were actually filming the Wiz.
Filming the movie. Yeah. So
now,
because they called her Diane, and I'm Diane, and both our middle names,
wow.
It's just that for me, that was like a highlight of my life. I said, if I can go to New York City and meet Diana Ross, I need to move to New York.
That's it. Exactly. Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. Now, this is a full circle moment. It's just so amazing to me because one of our guests, who's actually on this week as well, is Hinton Battle, who played, who's I think he's won three Tonys, maybe more awards he played on Broadway in The Wiz.
He originated
the Michael Jackson role was the role that he originated. So shout out to Hinton Battle.
Yeah, hey Hinton, I know Hinton. Hey Hinton, this Peggy called me. Call me.
he is fantastic. So yeah,
he really is.
I'm just blown away that was during that movie. Now, what else was coming to be? It was just released that NBC Television is going to be doing a stage version of a live program that they're going to be actually bringing back the Wiz, if you will. For the TV show, a live broadcast. They've been doing these big stage productions recently.
Yeah.
So it's The Wiz is going to get that treatment, and I am excited for anyone to take on that. Now, so your big inspiration, one of your big inspirations, so we know is, she's inspired many, many folks, and I've certainly chatted with her daughter, Rhonda, but Barry and Diana Ross's daughter, Rhonda, in the past. But can you tell me, who were some of the others who inspired this great Peggy Dodson? And then we'll get into you.
Oh, my God. I have many people in different genres. Dr. King was an inspiration to me. And Reverend Jackson, who I was just with at the Wall Street Summit.
And hold it, we don't want to gloss over these wonderful folks and the kind of connections that that you felt with these folks. Now, talk a little bit about that. Let's start with Dr. King. We are actually kicking off this wonderful celebration to Dr. King this week on the Hair Radio Show, the Hair Radio Morning Show. We want you to just kind of weigh in. What has Dr. King meant to you, Peggy Dodson?
Dr. King, what he has meant to me, what he means to me, is the chance to be all that you can be in a place that is equal and just. And I feel that was his life. Starting with African Americans, and the spirit to move forward in all adversities with what you believe in, and your faith in God, despite anything, despite anyone, he had his conversation with God, and God spoke to him. And he went ahead despite what anyone said, because what he did had to be done. No matter if he knew that eventually his life, he had to forfeit his life here on this earth. But to have that faith and to accomplish, it's almost like what Jesus did, despite what anybody said, he knew that he had to do and fulfill what God meant for him to do. And I feel that we all sometimes get off track, and it's human, and we all get off track on things. But the one thing that has kept me going in all of this is my faith and me not giving up through all adversity, because this is not for the weak of heart. This industry, whatever we're in, as you know, it is that we have the deck stacked against us as a people. We don't own our images as much as we should. stories are being told about us that we don't control. And to be able to step up, not maybe against, I won't say against, but to step out with the powers that be out there and say, hey, this is your story, but it's not my story. And to not be fearful in saying that, it takes a lot. It takes faith because it's
absolutely
very scary. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to let the folks out there know, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and my very special guest today is Miss Peggy Dotson. Now, she is behind the UBC TV network, and we're going to get into that very shortly. But I just wanted to ask you, Reverend Jesse Jackson, now there is a great picture of you and the Reverend Jesse Jackson circulating out there around the internet, and we have that great picture for you, along with a lot of information on you, Ms. Peggy Dotson. So if you guys out there are trying to reach Peggy, you go to hairradio.com, and you'll see all of Peggy's information right there on the screen, along with some great pictures. And I'm told, Peggy, that you have some special words of advice that you are sharing exclusively with the fans of the Hair Radio Show.
Yes, definitely.
So, yeah, so we want to get you guys, following our great interview today, absolutely this will continue. So you want to go to hairradio.com and read all of that wonderful information on Ms. Peggy Dotson. Now, I'm ready to get into all about the wonderful UBC TV network. So you mentioned that this is a television network, as we just indicated, but what does the UBC stand for?
Stands for Urban Broadcasting Company, which is so weird. It also stands for Uganda Broadcasting. I have a lot of, and you know, I'm so connected to Uganda. It's weird. It's weird. I love my friends from Uganda, and I have a lot of people from Uganda that actually follow me online, and they love, you know, what I'm doing. I'm very connected to Africa, but especially Uganda. That's the name of the company, is Urban Broadcasting. I wanted something named. I didn't want to pigeonhole, and people may say urban does, but it's, for me, it's urban multicultural. It's about culture, and I think that urban has been defined by others or misconstrued as something that it is not. Simply, urban is city, and rural is country. So it's urban means city, life.
Oh, okay,
so
urban is not just some euphemism for black. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So
and, that's how people categorize it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it means different things. It can mean different things, but for me, it's about lifestyle. And when you look at it, our lifestyle is the lifestyle. I mean, lifestyle is how you live, where you live, and that's what UBC is all about. And it embraces culture. So that it's not a black thing, it's not a white thing. It's all us together. I guess you could say that. UBC.
I like that. So the U can stand for us. Wonderful.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, Peggy,
definitely.
Tell us about some of the wonderful projects that you're kicking off at UBC.
Well, I have this has been a labor of love for me. You have to measure and time things correctly. As you know, in this industry, to do a network, it's very expensive, and it's not easy because once you get out there, you said, oh, okay, I've got 24 hours to fill. Oh, okay, I need advertisers. Oh, it's, you know, a lot of my colleagues who are out there now who are just jumped on the air recently, it's that they've gotten a lot of gray hair, you know, just by having the stress of doing that.
I can speak to that one.
You know, so my goal is to roll out, you know, to start the digital part, which I have started officially last year. We have a live stream channel where we are getting ready. We have live stream, we have on demand, and we're actually getting ready to do something very special. We're getting ready to put out a whole lineup as far as original productions that we are going to be streaming. As you know, streaming is really big right now in NBC, Netflix, everyone's.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Buy your favorite scented candles at Divine Energy Luxury Candles. I'm Kerry Hines. Divine Energy Luxury Candles create an unmatchable ambiance and can immediately enhance your mood. They offer an array of original scents made with coconut soy, hand-poured love. Fill your home and soothe your senses today. Order from DivineEnergyCandles.com.
You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show, the number one hair and beauty radio show worldwide and the longest-running hair and beauty radio show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines, and I have to say it, I don't know any better way to say I'm so excited to have our very, very special guest joining us right now. She's a longtime friend and literally family member to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're talking about the one and only Cheryl Morrow. Cheryl, good morning and welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
How are you?
I am doing great. It's good to have you with us, first of all. And so I kind of want to jump right on in. I want to take a moment. We have got to talk about this. It is, first I want to extend our condolences and on behalf of everybody here at the Hair Radio Morning Show on the passing of Dr. Willie Morrow, your dad, an incredible hair industry pioneer. I cannot say anymore because it is just an incredible legacy that I want to talk to you a little bit about and get any feeling or any sentiment that you want to share. We have just literally talking about this since it happened. And even before that, we've always taken time to recognize this, the Morrow dynasty, I call it, and its contribution to black hair. So, Cheryl, I thank you so much for taking time to join us. And we got a lot to get into, including some big news right now. So, Cheryl, there you go. So I'm going to let you take it away. I just want to say thank you so much again for taking the time to chat with us.
Well, the hair care, Black Hair Care Radio has been very dear to me and my family, and I just want to thank you guys for all your love and concern. Before we get into, I want to say thank you for all your support, Kerry. You've been wonderful.
Oh, well, back at you. And it is a family, and that's what when we go through our tough times and we share and talk it out. And I want to say, because there's so many folks who listen to us, who are part of our whole network and otherwise, who love you, you know, I can't say it enough. I really, and people you don't even know. I know you don't know them. And they just, they know, they speak of Cheryl like they know you so well because they've listened to you time and time again throughout the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I just have to say all of that because they would, they're going to, you know, trust me, they're going to be listening attentively to everything that we have to say, of course, today. So I've got to say now, Cheryl, listen, I want to go back a little bit because, and I saw you everywhere, Cheryl. I really did. I was like, oh, I know her. Oh, that's my Cheryl Morrow. I really did, Cheryl. I said, I have literally just fanned out over my dear friend who I have known for so very long. And a lot of the things now, I knew a little bit about Dr. Morrow, of course. But I had no idea all of that and the news media. What for me, and you may have, you, of course you will have, you know, your sentiment about it. But I've got to tell you, Cheryl, I felt honestly for the first time that the news media paid adequate tribute. And that's just far as I'm, you know, concerned, because over here in New York, remember, I'm on New York television. So seeing it on local news, and having them tell the story of Dr. Morrow, and I watched every single time it came on, whatever they did, as soon as I was there, and I loved it, and I couldn't get enough of it. So I just had to express that to you, if that makes any sense whatsoever to you, you know, hearing it. But I just had to let you know that that's exactly how I felt. I was so proud, so proud. So. That's my feeling. Okay,
yes.
So there you go.
Now that
we've
got that out the way.
Yes, okay. Listen, I have to talk to you about some big news now. Okay, and this is really kind of, I've never weighed in publicly like this on the topic, you know, on chemical hair straighteners. I understand all the different aspects and the big spectrum of hair care. So I've always been very careful, so to speak, on expressing viewpoints to a certain degree. I don't mind our guests, of course. They've come on and said everything under the sun. But but when it came to the study that, and I saw the local, speaking of the news, you know, I watched the media very carefully, and I've not seen where major news outlets and broadcast news and broadcast TV have revealed this whole thing about, you know, this linkage that they are talking about with regards to uterine cancer and the higher risk for Black women and minority women and so forth. So women of color, I should say. So I have to say this to me was huge. And it's not something that we could not pay attention to. You know, we're the Hair Radio Morning Show. We should be the very first to be all over it, literally. Wherever we stand and whatever we believe or not believe, it's my responsibility to talk about it. Otherwise, we might as well hang it up at the Hair Radio Show. So I just wanted to get everybody's perspective. And we're, you know, unless you've been under a rock in the last 72 hours or so, at least at this time that we're putting this together, you know, this has been huge. So I want to kind of start there with this huge news that they're showing that there is a potential linkage between, and this is from their research, again, and NIH, the National Institute of Health, and so many folks, and they've done all of this research and have literally said now without a doubt, and I shouldn't say without a doubt, that's my paraphrasing, but they've shown a direct linkage, and they're saying that the Black women are at higher risk. So how do you feel about this, and what would you like to say about our show?
Well, I have gone over back and forth in my mind about what my personal responsibility is as Mr. Morrow's daughter and the one who who's been, you know, advantaged because of black hair care. Mm-hmm. I've had a really great, you know, childhood, and I had a, you know, really young adult life, and black hair care has afforded me an incredible career and life. And so my responsibility and legacy is to preserve that for other young men and women and entrepreneurs who want to embark in this industry. And so studies like the recent one, via a researcher from the National Institute, you know, of Health.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's especially in the American media machine, it's very important to understand and to interpret what you're hearing. And I am personally taking it as an attack, only because the way it's written, and I'm not anti-research, by the way. And one of the things that I'm concerned with, one, it's language. Two, it's inconclusive. Three, and if things are as inconclusive as it is written, then I don't understand the breaking news and the prime time it's giving it, you know, it's getting. And I know that, you know, you have to follow the money in a capitalist society. And so critically, once you take a look at it, it is sometimes you got to look at the timing of things. You got to take a look at what would be the motive. And I know that other politicians also use the same tactic. And so, but this is personal to me because what is, many may know, that I'm also a cosmetologist and a teacher of professional PhDs in corporate Beauty America, okay? And so, and the founder of cosmetic trichology. So it's very important that, to me, that if things are like that are going to affect economic bottom lines, the professional rank of beauty, the salon world, salon economics, and what the consumer believes to be true, that is very concerning to me. Because black hair care is a legacy. It is an industrial juggernaut. It is highly profitable. And so that concerns me. That is my main goal, is to bring black hair care and to make it futuristic. However, to also bring about a new wave of innovation, hair texture enhancement. But what I will not allow is for junk research and fake news to wither away the stronghold that has been created over 100 years ago. And that is what my concern.
Okay. Well, Cheryl, wow. All right. Let's kind of take a closer look at all of this. You know, and I'm going to say, for me, I've heard these you know, this kind of thing for years, just to be quite frank. I heard about it for a long time, and many of you guys out there have heard the same. You've heard little mummeries and little, you know, people talking in different pockets. But I've never seen how it had ever bubbled up to this degree. Now, going along with what you just said, okay, I hear you 100%. And this has can have a great impact on folks. And we're talking about financially and otherwise. And so I do want to talk a little bit more about that, because that's a very good point. But what about those who are, you know, using chemical straightening products? So, you know, some of the, you know, the hairstylists who are using these things, and how do you feel? So let's kind of break that apart. Now, you said you might, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you might, that this sounds like it's, you know, kind of could be fake news or kind of, you know, there's much more, I'm going to say, I'm thinking that there's much more to it in your words. So what, and what you might feel, so what would you like to, how can we further define this? Mm-hmm. Is it, so you don't feel that this is, you know, or the way that it's being spun, because I did read it carefully as well, and I was a little bit, the way that I saw when it, they talked about the 3% and the greater community and stuff, so I, it sounded, I had to take a little bit of a leap, I'm going to be honest. And so I get a little bit of what you're saying. I really do because, you know, I get, I understand. I kind of can feel. I understand how you feel. I believe on this. So what do you tell folks? Because now folks are calling you. I know this is not your first call from me, Cheryl Morrow. So I know people are asking what, how to, you know, make this make sense to them. Because you have some women who, and this is what they live by. So what do you say?
Well, you have to remember that, let's just go back to about 1982, when my father, Dr. Morrow, Willie Morrow, challenged the State Board of California.
Mm.
And because when you come from a chemical background, that most cosmetology board officials, elected or not, or appointed, they are not coming from a cosmetology perspective. Now, they may have a cosmetology background, but that does not serve as an expert on how chemical treatments interact with skin and hair. It's very important.
Exactly.
And to also understand, once these things are formulated, how do, what is the nature of how they behave on a surface, right?
Yes.
And Dr. Morrow made it his, made a trip up to Sacramento, okay, California, and to have a meeting with them and a group of cosmetologists to correct the misinformation, to correct some of the questions on the cosmetology test, to get into the curriculum of a more scientific sound perspective on afro textures, okay, in a real sound logical, chemical logical framework for how chemicals actually act and not through a guesstimation based on how European chemicals work on European straight hair. It's a difference. So in other words, chemical relaxers are alkaline in base, which means that they are on the high end of the pH scale after 6, after 7.
Wow.
And because they have relaxer technology behaving like acid based products such as style or permanent waving. Okay? Mm-hmm. We mix up those two sciences or chemical actions, you're teaching cosmetologists wrong when it comes to relaxing. And the basis of the cosmetology boards and state boards across the United States, they have not corrected this. And so the basis of how they behave, people are assuming that these things behave like penetrators, like thiol and hair color, okay, and bleach. And so once you keep getting that, those two education principles wrong, well, then it festers, and then everybody thinks that these things behave like that. So when research health professionals in research firms across this country and across the world, they go into their research with already wrong and ignorant premises. And those things must be corrected, okay? Because the FDA has relaxers in a category called depilatories. Those depilatories melt. Depilatories dissolve. They don't penetrate.
Right, they kind of pull out or remove.
So the point is, at that particular juncture, there is a gross in an industry and a policy malfeasance that you have to correct it so you can educate the professionals who are operating and practicing within the industry. But when you don't have that corrected, then researchers are not even starting correct.
Well, see, that's exactly what I was about. Yeah, I was about to say, because obviously they didn't have anybody like you in the room. I'm just going to go ahead and say that because I doubt very seriously that they were probably even, looking at it from this perspective, to be quite honest. And so you're saying starting point was not a good place to start.
Well, here's the other thing, and my many years of experience as serving, clients would hire me to be their expert witness in beauty,
exactly,
and black hair, and chemical litigation.
Yeah.
The key here is when does the consumer's responsibility and the professional responsibility, where is that line of demarcation? When does the professional industry become responsible and then the consumer becomes responsible, especially when the same substance is sold on the commercial market? You don't need a professional to purchase the same formulation, the same substance, the same product. So where does one become responsible for application and then the other consumer doesn't? And so there are some consumer issues and some professional issues. And these things don't get talked about because cosmetologists are not educated. Their scholar is not appropriate or not conducive, shall I say, to defend themselves and to defend their profession and to defend their industry. And so that's why I am taking it, especially when it becomes random attorneys, like Benjamin Crump, who is now involved in a lawsuit on behalf of a consumer. See, that's where you start, because the professional and the consumer has the same amount of contact with the same amount of potency, the same chemical, the same treatment, the same cosmetic. And so when you don't have those things talked about and you don't have that kind of information in the industry itself and professionals who are trying to make a living, and the trends of these particular services are still prominent within the salon. So, my goal is to protect that and to protect the legacy of black hair care ownership and control and influence. But I'm not anti-research enough to say that we don't need to make any of these cosmetic treatments safer. What I am saying is that I don't want random research that I know is based and is from a premise that is false, because it has never been corrected. I think that's what I'm saying.
Wow. Well, listen, it looks like you have definitely set a mouthful there, Cheryl, on this. This is really huge to me. First, let me just respond to this on Benjamin Crump. For you guys who may not be aware, he has, as Cheryl pointed out, filed a lawsuit on behalf of a user, one, as far as I'm aware at this point, just one single user of chemical hair straightening products. And the folks that are listed in what he has stated are huge. You're talking about gigantic conglomerates, okay? gigantic, literally, like top mm-hmm. folks here, and quite a few of them. So my thing, Cheryl, I just wanted to definitely ask you on this because, and it sounded like you were saying that there might be responsibility on both sides, but, you know, whether it is the manufacturers and or the consumers. And so,
You have to consider that beauty, perfume, and cosmetic industry is not heavily regulated because these effects are temporary. That's number one. Mm. Two, FDA does have warnings on certain cosmetics, but relaxers are not one of them for that very reason. The effects are temporary. There are some FDA warnings against beauty treatments, but ironically, the FDA warning happens to not ironically go with the research findings that are not linked to cancer or becomes carcinogenic. And why would that be? Why would the FDA not have a warning against them? But then research finds that the ones that they do have a warning for don't have healthcare implications. Now, that's not logical.
No, I don't quite get that.
That is my problem. The FDA has warning against certain hair color dyes, alpha hydroxy, chemical skin peels, and other things that within the beauty industry. But why, when it comes to real research, none of those warnings are included in risk factors, health risk factors? That is, to me, not logical. And that means that there are certain, either two things are happening. You don't want to encourage the Y2K natural hair care industry to return to a straight hair or relaxer trend, or you are trying to tell us that all of a sudden you're concerned with black women's uteruses? What are you trying to, because at the end of the day, I am I'm looking at this critically, and I'm not vilifying them for the research in and of itself. What I am saying is I know you don't have enough beauty, afro hair, textured intelligence to make any conclusion, which you don't anyway because most of these studies are inconclusive. But I don't like the media it gets in what the implications could be on an economic level in terms of what the influence would be in the economic backlash on hairstylists and cosmetology's bottom line. That's my problem.
Well, first I have to say this is really huge, and we may not really get the full impact of this economically speaking for a while. But I'm worried about short term also. Let's talk about the consumers and then we'll work it back to the litigation and where everything is on that. But what should consumers do in your opinion, Cheryl Morrow? What should chemical treatment customers do right now? If you will.
First of all, they should demand that cosmetology not just teach cultural hairstyling. For instance, the focus on protective hairstyles in terms of policy, to me is a minor because if we change the focus to cultural hairstyling falling under the First Amendment, which is cultural expression, then we are talking about textured hair being protective under the First Amendment in the U.S. Constitution, not telling them that we've created some subgroup that is illogical, called a protective hairstyle, and then we want that to have protections within the private sector to where people can't have dress codes if they want to. Well, then that's not the issue. So demanding we have real Afro textured Afro cosmetology, then it will be taught correctly, and then we won't have, as I say, real goofy policy based on things that
right.
really are not logical.
They're just getting into a lot of the training for the cosmetologists and the state boards educating these cosmetology students on Afro textures. I've just seen with, and it's not even a whole bunch of states yet. So, where it's just being incorporated. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, this is just going to throw everything. To me, it's just like you just,
it's just come to a head, and it's just time to one, have the consumers be educated to the point where they at least know that cosmetology boards are only including Afro textures in what we call a practical manner, which means that as long as we train a European on how to do something, then that's education. No, understanding things work, how chemicals work, the chemistry of black hair care, the chemistry of individuals who have Afro-textured hair, the whole spectrum in terms of science and understanding, and in chemistry and understanding in culture, then the cultural is important. But that is not dealing with textured hair care just because you do it on a social or practical manner, or just learn how to do it. It's not technical. The problems that we are talking about now are chemical, chemistry, and scientific in nature.
Right.
And because we want to separate Afro textures out, they avoid this, and this is things that happen like the studies, the random studies, the junk research, and the fake news. Because we won't scientifically deal with it. We just want to say everybody's the same. Oh, here is the standard. And that is coming, home to roost, because now we don't have enough intel. But the intel is there. We've just ignored it. And when the African hair movement of the 1960s tried to infiltrate cosmetology said no. Then the black hair, then the black barber industry is the one that embraced it. So therefore, we don't have as many scientific problems within barbering, because barbering dealt right. with black ingrown hairs in a very scientific way, as we see in the history of the military. They dealt with that. But cosmetology seems to only want to deal with the practical matters of textured hair care, and this is why we have the problems that we have.
Well, I have to say, I'm thinking about this, and let me just go back a little bit, because I have a question for you, Cheryl. First, if you guys are just tuning in, let me just catch everybody up. You're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and today our guest, who is really joining us after quite a while, quite a bit, we're so honored to have Cheryl Morrow. As you guys know, I've always called her hair royalty, and that she is, and has always made a big difference here in coming to the show and putting things in, shaping our perspectives. Instead of us just taking, just face value at things, kind of peeling back the layers and giving a real good understanding of a lot of this, and like I said, helping us to make sense of this. Now, so we're talking about the chemical straighteners, we're talking about the impact on throughout everything. Like, to me, this is huge. And if you are starting with, you know, that's just one lawsuit, and I'm sure that folks are doing all kind of, what is that, the class action this, they'll be doing all of that, and I don't know, can these companies survive that, that kind of, you know, picking apart, if you will, because this is ginormous, and folks will be able to maybe, you know, bless you there, but folks will be able to really make the case that this is, you know, something that they've been affected by. So can these companies survive? Cheryl, let me ask you that question. Will it matter to some of them? Because they're so rich.
Well, it's not a matter of if they'll survive. The matter is will the trends survive that they have a life cycle like all trends do. But for you, but for researchers on the outside with their low level of information, are going to stop the natural life cycle of trends. And so companies that are ready to deliver and to fulfill the trend, well, they have been castrated from it because of junk research. And so it's not a matter if the companies can survive. It's a matter of can the trend survive to have a natural life cycle of how generation and trends come back and forth and to and fro. We all go to curly, straight, to wavy, and then back and forth, weaving, no weaving. Braids, no braids. Afro, no afro. Straight hair, no straight hair. Cosmetic and beauty trends and fashion trends and all of this. So when the fashion trend of not wearing denim and then everybody's doing something else, and then when it comes back, but now it can't come back because someone said there's something wrong with cotton.
Yeah.
And the cotton in those particular studies are inconclusive. But then so you have created a malfunction in the natural trends of how people gravitate to vintage style and retro style, and then things come back. And then, well, why are you doing that to just relaxer? And see, and I understand business very well. I understand that the implications of what is going on in the back end, because at the end of the day, everybody loves money, no more than, I mean, white folks love money than more than anybody. So what would be their motive to do that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I have to look at that. And so that is my main concern. I know that it's going to have enormous bottom line implications.
Absolutely.
And, so that is one of the things that I am trying to at least not say that research does not have. Research belongs in every industry, the computer industry, telecommunications, the medical, you know, the transportation industry, the tourist industry, the food industry, the music industry. It has a natural a progression. But
yeah.
Hair care is not afforded that. That's
true.
Number one.
But Cheryl, to play devil's advocate, when you talk about the NIH, superbly respected outfit, you know, and they're the ones who kind of really put this out there, you know, so it sounds like perhaps it could have been done differently. But let me ask you this. Was it needed to address this at all? Was there a need to address this is my question to you, because
But if it needed to be addressed, it would have been addressed through a regulatory institution, the FDA.
While
it's getting front and center news from these off-centered research institutions is very bizarre to me. Now, you know, let's just say, for instance, we lived through the last couple of years of a medical pandemic, a health pandemic, okay? And one of the things that on the federal level and state level they were dealing with is to convince African descending people to trust the government in dealing with it in terms of creating prevention such as a vaccine, right? And
right.
So my point is that that also dovetails into random concern about me relaxing.
Wow.
And since you have very low, infantile, borderline moronic information and note, I still
how do you really feel about it, Cheryl?
Yeah, I think it's odd. And I do also realize that the timing, because there's 22 years on the Y2K natural movement.
Right.
And that movement has been led by also the lowest informed generation dealing with black hair care and cosmetology. And so when you have that generation, because we're almost, we've got three more years in it, 25 mm-hmm. years, a full generation, right?
True.
And so we're three more years left in the Y2K generation, a natural hair movement. And because these two now, and when they meet research like this, because I tell people all the time, the Y2K natural hair movement, the difference between the 1960s, their parents, is that one was Afro-motivated. Y2K uh-huh. is chemical-motivated. They're not pro-natural. Mm. If that was the case, it would not need to get a curl pattern that is not native to the texture itself. But that's a whole other subject. But I will
what I will say is that
when you have these two entities, the junk research and the fake news, and then you have, and it's meeting and joining a generation that has very low knowledge, it is not a good combination as to serve to infrastructure black hair care in terms of our ownership, our influence, and in gaining profits and growing it. Those two forces that I just mentioned, they're just not conducive enough. They are not up to standard. They're not up to par and up to task. What they're going to most likely do is just ruin a 100-year progression of competitive markets within black hair care, and that's just very that's concerning to me. And I just don't, as an heiress of a black hair care legacy that has expanded beyond 5 to 10 to 7, 8 families, the Bronners, the Gardners, the Johnsons, you know, the Lusters, and the Cottrells, and all of this rich. I mean, black hair care gave us literally Soul Train.
Okay.
So this is a lot. Black hair care is woven and at the pillar and foundation of the economics of black America as it spans into the international markets. That is my concern.
Wow. Cheryl, I got to ask you this, though. What do you say to folks out there who are looking at this on the natural hair side and saying, see, we told you? What would you say?
And see, that I would say that allows us to understand that you do not know your history.
Mm.
And see, history is not important just because, or it's not about to find out what happened. History is important because it's a connector of what was to what is.
And what will
That's
be.
Important connector because it allows you to not redo something that's already been done, and it allows you to see something that does need to be done or improved or expanded upon, and to go from there, to not start over. The reason why history missed the Y2K, because the Crown Act came out of Y2K.
Oh, yes.
You can hear me.
Yes.
But if they would have known that they did not need to do that, they did not need a statutory, an additional statutory Crown Act, because the U.S. military had already, the most powerful military on the most, the largest employer, the largest industrial complex on the planet, had already given you that particular research. But because history, we misunderstand history, history serves as a connector. So the Y2K don't know their parents already did it. And then, of course, the white population don't know their parents also did it. Then everybody starts from zero every time we need to improve something. And that's why history is important. But
wow, Cheryl.
They will say, oh, I told you, but here's the thing.
Exactly.
They will say that, but they will be saying it with no sound logic. And the point is that facts always ends the argument. It's more dependable than opinion. More
from Cheryl Morrow. My goodness. Okay. I love that, what you just said. Yes, back in the argument. Wow.
It silences deceit. So facts will always end the argument. And that is where we're trying to, you know, Afro textures to be scholastically respected, scientifically respected. And to be included into the national and state programs into their curriculums, so we can stop being dumbified by, you know, whole, you know, we were just practically trading trends. Because if you look at European hair care, European hair styling of the 17th and 18th century, it looks like African hair braiding. We've always did each other's cultures. That's nothing new. What is new is for you as a national and state level to recognize that Afrotextures is a dominant prototype, is genetically different, and that we have to approach it like that. And so that will get rid of
it.
And if they want to do a study, at least let the study be based on that and scientific aspect of textures, and not just ignorance that at all they're saying, because it's not. Obviously, it's not. Since you wanted to come out and get and say black women are four times, and even that type of kind of statements in a study have not taken into consideration all chemical treatments within the salon. Relaxers are the only ones that stay on 5 to 7 to 10 minutes. All of the other chemical hair treatments stay on for 25 to 45 minutes. So if there is a health risk, time exposure becomes a factor. So why didn't they consider that? Yeah, they may get them four. Let's just say since they want to use four times or more a year. Well, at the end of the day, four times even a year does not even equate to 45 minutes of the time exposure.
That's true.
And if you get your hair bleached,
go ahead.
Your roots bleached, well, that is 30 to 45, that's about 30 minutes, and then you get the hair color, and then you get the toner. So you're exposed to hair color 30 minutes per sitting. So that's about 3.5 hours compared to under 45 minutes compared to a relaxer. So you're not even taking that into consideration. And then in your study, you went more sinister. You said bleach and hair color and permanent waving.
It's not.
Okay. See, that to me is
that was capital
conversation. And see, and to me, that only makes me draw one conclusion, that you're coming after the economics and the bottom line.
You know what, Cheryl, I have to say my eyes opened up on that part of the what was reported by the news as well on that with regards to the dye and the others that, you know, just they made it very clear that everything else was okay.
Think about it. If that is their argument, and if that's their premise, well, then what are you saying? The California Curl and the cold wave cream technology that took the hair through two processes. We put the cream cold wave on, straightened the hair, and then reapplied it as we got it on the rods, right? And then we rinsed it and neutralized it again. You know, so what are you saying? Do the 20 years that black people did their own version of permanent waving, you know, oh, that was healthy. And the really asinine kind of approach is that that chemical is a penetrator.
Mm.
Now, see,
so, this is multi-layered. And I hate to say multi-layered. That sounds so, pun intended. But I'm blown away here. And this is just the very first real discussion on this. This is going to go, you know, they've just been putting this out in the last news cycle, in this current news cycle, I should say. So this is really, really just getting legs to it. And the lawsuits are going to be flying every which direction, confuse consumers, confuse stylists for that much. You've got all the different, different areas within the spectrum of hair. Folks, you know, so this is just the beginning of this conversation. But Cheryl Morrow, my very special guest today, literally, one of the top educators, in my opinion, it's the first thing that comes to my mind when it comes to Cheryl. You are always bringing it with the knowledge. You teach so many, and I'm raising my hand along with everybody else here. So we love you. We think the world of you. You're just doing some incredible work to keeping this legacy of Dr. Willie Morrow's going strongly, and you are doing just that. So, Cheryl, I got to ask you, so hold it. What's next for you? What's next? And when are you coming back to the East Coast? We miss you out here.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm going to bring some sunshine and some California rain.
You really need to bring it today. Yeah, bring it on out here. Yes.
Bring it to you. Well, you know, what is next is of course, just bringing the Afrofuturism, and as I call it, both futurism, and creating these new spaces and these new perspectives. And it seems to me that it looks like I'm going to have to, you know, approach and put out this fire first, and maybe, you know, the universe just has me going in this direction to try to bring and elevate Afro textures to a scientific zenith, so to speak, and to bring in this Afrofuturism kind of perspective when it comes to Afro textured cosmetology, and to take the world forward, and to take the spook out of it, to take the mystery out of it, and to put it in a very fun romantic kind of jewel factor. Black hair care is fun, and it's not very difficult, and it's not all this, you know, other craziness that we think it is. And so just probably approaching, you know, hopefully my legacy will be to get back black and textured hair care back on a trend and on a mode of where it is respected and scientifically respected and allow all races of people to enjoy it and to you know, to be able to partake in it in a way that they can respect it and learn and to utilize and how to, you know, make it beautiful, but to take some of the stigmas and the misinformation and miseducation. And it looks like that is my initial mission. But to also, I got some great unique stuff coming, got a fashion line coming and a whole beauty supply model. Some great fun stuff. I wish I had Mr. Morrow with me because I have about 50 binders of chemical formulations that he hasn't even done. And so it's going to be hopefully to get some, and I think the first thing is for all of us to get, I think we need a new association. I think we need a new representation.
Oh, wow.
That can lobby on our behalf.
Yes.
And so thinking of forming a network that can be just as powerful as the fashion industry. Fashion industry is very tight. They take care of their own, you know, and we need
they
to do the
same. Exactly. And we've been on that path, you know that, for decades. We literally have. With Cheryl Morrow, the Morrows, and all of these folks. But Cheryl, I just got to say, you bring it here. And you're already doing great things and amazing things, and you've built an incredible legacy of your own. And so we're just so honored, you know, and you're home here, East Coast and around the world through the Hair Radio Morning Show. You are part of our big family here. So on that note, Cheryl, now anybody you want to shout out to? Cheryl, any last shout outs, anything like that?
Oh, man, just shout out my wonderful Cleveland, Ohio team. LaDosha Wright out of Cleveland, Ohio. She's coming out with a film that I helped her with called The Narrative, which is based on the life of Mr. Morrow and dealing with the very it's called The Narrative. It's coming out on November 11th. And so it's going to be screened in all over the country.
Wow. Well, we look forward to that. And so much more. There's a lot on the way.
And you
so
gotta
we just have
to interview her.
Listen, all you make, you can make all the connections happen. You've been doing it for decades here. And she really has, folks. We go way back. So I'm going to leave it at that. Cheryl, you are the best. So listen, just keep doing what you're doing and keep us informed. Okay,
I will.
Do that. All right.
Thank you so much.
Cheryl Morrogan, thank you for being with us. All right, folks, we've got more to get to this morning. Stay with us.
But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Keri Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections that I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media
and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important, and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Carrie Hines.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio. Roots Rock Salon. Healthy roots, healthy hair. Our expert stylists will help you shine naturally beautiful. We offer everything from hydrating shampoo, conditioning hair mask, oil steam treatments to lock in the cuticle, and an array of natural styles and programs to promote healthy hair growth using professional products. Book your consultation today online at RootsRockSalon.com. Visit us at 72 Harrison Avenue, West Orange, New Jersey, or call us at 973-957-7800.
Good morning, everybody. I am Kimmy Love, Kid Entrepreneur, and I made a book about children's hygiene and hygiene in general and kids going to the hair salon. You should buy my book, and I encourage you to buy my book because it is inspiring to young child authors, and it is inspiring to young girls and young boys and young children.
That's 11-year-old author Cammy Love and her book, Cammy's Spa Party. It's on sale today at Amazon. Pick up this amazing book for young minds, Cammy's Spa Party.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Carrie Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner grows hair. Carrie Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Carapi, and we thank you. Please register at Carapi.com and join our Carapi community at hairradio.com. Again, I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you.
We appreciate all of our amazing fans at the Hair Radio Show. And we know that you have many choices of how you spend your time each morning. So we thank you for listening, because your hair speaks volumes.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Thank you, Purple Barbie. It is Thursday morning, October 27th of 2022. Yes, wow. October 27th of 2022. It is our show number 776. Show number 776. I have to keep repeating these numbers as we march along here with a brand new episode. I'm in Brooklyn, New York. It's about 8:06 in the morning. I got to bring my amazing team, our wonderful daily panel here to the line. We're talking, of course, my wonderful co-star. She's the newly minted queen of the mornings. We're talking about Nicole Marie out of Water Valley, Mississippi. And good morning again,
good
Nicole
morning,
Marie.
Carrie.
Happy food hour.
Good morning
happy
again.
Hour.
Yes, our spotlight hour. Good
all
morning
good
to
stuff.
You, to all of our fans. To upscale
yes.
radio.
Yes, yes.
Upscale,
so all those things
upscale
over
Max
there.
Radio.
Real
yes.
happy.
Yes. Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning. Happy Thursday.
Yes, officially good morning. Happy Thursday to you as well.
We've been listening.
Thank you.
And I want to get on. Yeah.
Oh, most
we're going
definitely.
To get Michael Hopkins on in just a bit as well. He'll be joining us. But first, I have a wonderful contributor to the network. You guys have gotten to know her. We ran a little bit of her daughter's commercial just a little while ago. We're talking about someone who has become very dear to me and a big part of our show and just supporting us and being just a part of the family here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. She's a hairstylist in her own right. Just doing so much of an author and a mom, just a person out there leading the charge. We're talking about Takiya Chase Smith. Good morning, Takiya, as well.
Good morning, Takiya.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello. How are you guys?
Oh,
great. How are you?
Yeah.
How
are you doing,
Takiya? I'm excited to be here. I'm great. I'm excited to be here.
Oh,
glad to have you this morning.
Yes. Oh, did you catch the commercial, by the way, Takiya?
I did catch the commercial, and I always love to hear my baby's voice. So I'm like, oh, look at my baby.
Miss Cammy.
I love Cammy Love's voice on the show.
Yes.
Do you know, because it catch, it's so much attention getting. Like, we're just, you know, when you hear, you know, oh, that's Cammy. Wow.
Yeah.
So we just,
you hear adult
here.
Voices,
yeah.
And then you hear Cammy.
Exactly. And it fits in so beautifully, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing. Well, listen, today's topic was a bit heavy. It was heavy this morning.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was very heavy. But it was a good topic in that everybody spoke their piece, and you know, this whole thing, which has just been a big report in the last week or so, it is still in the current news cycle where they're talking about the potential link between uterine cancer and black women, the higher risk for black women,
right.
And so
right.
You know, right? And so Cheryl Morrow did this entire piece today on our show, which kind of that she spoke to. And so you can play that all back if you've missed any part of that. And feel free to jump in, guys, on this. You know, I had my own feelings about it. You can hear Cheryl's sentiment as well. So
right.
You guys may feel a certain way. Since you're a hairstylist, Takiya, let's lead on in with you. Anything you want to add to it, then feel free to do so. Jump on in.
Okay. All right. I sure will. So I read a portion of the article. I didn't read the entire article.
Oh,
like
okay.
I said, I listened
this
morning to what Ms. Cheryl was. I have heard that before, you know, how it could be linked to uterine cancer and things of that nature. So.
Yes. And you know what, you hit a good, you actually hit on a very good point. This is something that, I mean, I've heard it, I think I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think this has not been a real secret or a shockeroo,
right.
Because we've been
right.
hearing
been
the murmuring
for
years.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, we've been hearing a lot of the murmurings for a while, like you said. I think what it is that the report seems to put it out in a definitive way that, because, and then with the, you know, getting them several times. So the only reason they were saying that, you know, that it affects, African-American women at a higher risk, is that because, of the more frequent use of these types of products.
Right.
And so
that, mm-hmm.
yeah, but you know what, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and that's what I kind of did with Cheryl as well, but my thing is this, you know, and I think, and I'm not going to speak for Cheryl, God knows Cheryl can speak real well for herself, okay, but my belief is that some folks may say, well, it sounds to me that maybe the folks who are going to benefit from folks not using the products are the ones who are behind this report and stuff like that. So,
right.
You know, that's the thing. And so, therefore, it's met with criticism on a different level. However, there are so many different legs to this. And as I mentioned with Cheryl, the lawsuits to me are going to start. They've already started flying, by the way,
right.
Just so that you
right.
guys are
right.
aware.
Right.
yeah. And I think Cheryl has already mentioned one in particular with a gentleman who's actually I've chatted with on through here radio and on our network through the years out of Florida. You guys know him from his work with so many families, you know, George Floyd family, Trayvon Martin, and so many others. We're talking about Benjamin Crump, who is one of the attorneys out there. So he's heading up a lawsuit as well. And so I know that you guys heard Cheryl comment about that, and I think she's been quite vocal on the throughout the media with it. But just this is huge to me. This is huge, and where do we go from here is my question. So, Nicole Maria, I didn't get you to weigh in yet. And, again, my illustrious, brand-newly minted queen of the morning, Nicole Marie, what do you say about all of this? What did you think of Cheryl's incredible commentary this morning on the broadcast?
Well, first let me say that Cheryl Morrow, whenever she is on the show, she brings it. I mean, she is definitely an educator. You always learn something. And today we learned a whole lot as well from Ms. Cheryl Morrow. So hats off to her.
True.
Thank you so much. She's definitely a legend in her own right, just like her father, Willie Morrow. And
by the way, we were lucky to have her, you know, so close to all of this happening. This is so fresh to her. You know, you got to remember that he was a member of her family, an important member of her family.
Exactly.
To us, he was a legendary person in the business. So that's kind of what it was. So that was real tough. And so, but we love her. We're big fans of hers and all of that.
Exactly. And continued thoughts and prayers to her and her family. Because, like you said, it's very tough. But we were honored to have her this morning, and we thank her so much for that.
Yes. And real good stuff. And I can't wait to get Dr. Dyer's perspective in just a little bit. Dr. Paul Dyer will be joining us to give his perspective. Because this whole thing with the relaxers, with straightening hair is bigger than the hair community. And that's what I wanted to get across to everybody. You're talking about the potential fallout from this is incredibly huge. We didn't even have the argument, should women be straightening their hair anyway? We're talking about black women. That's a whole thing. But more importantly, my goodness, this is huge to me. And what do you do next? So should you stop with
this? Carrie, I think this affects economics in such a impactful way.
Yeah.
Yes, and like Cheryl was saying, she felt like the studies and everything was inconclusive in the writing of it, and I agree with that. When I read it, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, how do you just lump all this together and say, okay, this is what's going to happen? You know,
Exactly. The NIH, National Institute of Health report that came out just recently, and it's still in the current news cycle out there, trending. That's true. The other thing that caught my eye on this report that's out there, and you can easily Google it, folks, but the thing was that it said, you know, all the other things. It was, you know, oh, the the dyes and all that other stuff. We're not talking about those things. That's
right. Right.
So we're just talking about this specific thing, and I thought that was incredible. I thought it was incredible.
Right.
So listen, I want us to, we're going to really delve into this. My guest today, our panel, we're talking with Nicole Marie out of Water Valley, my co-host on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We have a special guest already here. We're talking with Takiya. Now, Takiya, you are out of where temporary? I know you are North Carolina, right? Aren't you down in the southern part?
Yes, I'm in North Carolina.
Oh, NC, all right. Well, we're happy to have you. Takiya is an author. You guys know her daughter, Cammie Love, who is the young 11-year-old author. We're going to get her commercial back on again shortly. And Takiya, you always with us and bringing your insight. And coming up in just a couple minutes, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back to the line, we're going to catch up. We haven't chatted with him in a while. We're so excited to welcome back to the broadcast Dr. Paul Dyer, who is a gentleman who always puts his perspective on it. So we're so happy. We have a very special show today and lots more to get into. So stay with us, everybody. Stay with us.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio. Join the Hair Radio online community. It's free to be a member. It's social media for the hair and beauty industry. Great space for entrepreneurs to meet new customers, network with new friends, upload pictures, make, like, read, and share posts about hair, beauty, and business, and more. Go to HRmember.com to sign up.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
It's 2 thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story. And we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. All right, we're back live again. It's Thursday morning, October 27th of 2022. It is It's our show number 776. So let me just say officially that we will we are moving towards broadcast show number 800. So coming up soon. So lots to get to this morning. Today's discussion has centered around this National Institute of Health report that links uterine cancer to the chemical straighteners. We call them relaxers in our community. And this is really the big topic out here. They say black women are at higher risk. And that is because using, you know, them more often than other communities and so forth. And so we're talking about that this morning. Again, this has a lot more legs to it. And I wanted to bring my panel back in. We're talking with my wonderful colleague here on the show, Nicole Marie, and Michael Hopkins will be joining us just a bit with kind of giving his perspective and the last word on this as well. Takiya Chase Smith, you guys know her. She's been with us many times, an author and the wonderful, wonderful leader out here. She's a hairstylist as well, and her own right. And we're happy to have Takiya join us as a special guest on this Thursday morning. And good morning again, panel folks.
Good morning, Gary. And Takiya.
Okay. Great. Yes.
Good morning, Nicole Marie.
I want to say, Takiya, Nicole Marie, we are also bringing to the line a gentleman who joins us specifically on Thursdays and Friday mornings. And he comes in with his own brand of knowledge and just a great perspective on things. He's able to take a look at things and give a totally different analytical approach to it. And we're just happy to have him with us each week. We're talking about the one and only. Yes, Dr. Paul Dyer. Good morning again.
Dr. Dyer.
Yes, Dr. Dyer.
Good morning, family.
On the Takiya, Nicole Marie, Carrie Hines. Good morning, yes. And Dr. Dyer, now you just want to make sure everybody knows where everybody is. You're down in the Maryland area. Hold on, am I right? Maryland, yeah. All right, okay. So it's been a while since we chatted with you.
That's because you gave us you gave us a whole week off. What's up with that?
Well, yeah, you had a big week, and we took a little break here on the show. Yeah, which is really a break for you guys, but it's not really a break for me in the show because we are always we work behind the scenes on recordings and tapings and. I'm 1 minute wearing my hat on the show. Then we're booking guests and doing interviews and working on our product line and just a myriad. And as soon as this show is over today, I switch gears again and go into magazine graphics mode and creating some advertisement for the magazine for the next issue of Upscale Magazine and all of that. So we're always busy. We are just loving it. We're grateful.
Always.
We're grateful.
Yes. Very grateful.
Yes. We couldn't ask for anything better than this.
I heard what you guys are talking about, but before I get into the cancer situation, I want to put out this, okay? We're in a general election across the country, and I want our community to get out and vote. I put out these PSAs, public service announcements about voting and getting out and vote and how important it is and how you're protecting your rights, your civil liberties. And I want you to vote on all the elections, not just, you know, the big statewide, but your local, your school board, your park board, your sheriffs,
locally.
Your judges. Yes, it starts locally.
Yeah.
So please, again, I want you to just get out and vote. In some states there have early election. Early voting already. So just get out there and vote, please. I know they're trying to suppress the black vote, and it's evident out there. But don't be afraid. We need your vote. So I just want to get that out there
first. Exactly.
No, thank you for that. And I appreciate the big reminder. Usually we get on our political pundits and all of that to get on and talk and stuff. Just haven't had a chance as much as we wanted to get them out there. We see them on the news. You have a very big point. Please, please get out there and vote. And
yes.
As you said, I couldn't say it any more eloquently. You know, it's not just the big, you know, national presidential race that, of course, you need to be part. You know, you guys have to remember the local political process is where all these different laws that affect you and your community on a day-to-day.
Exactly.
And our own Cole Marie is on the local board down in her area.
Oh, yeah.
In Water Valley. So we are, yeah, the community board. So we're so proud. We're just bringing it on the Hair Radio Morning Show, are we not? So
yes,
great
job.
Great. Yes.
So, Dr. Dyer, I've got it.
Go ahead, sir.
I want to get straight into the hair straightener issue because it's so disturbing on two fronts. The first front is how come African-American women, black women, straighten their hair? What is the nemesis of that? What is the reason for that? Is it because they were called nappy head this and kinky this, and they were looked at as animals in the slave production of the cattling? And then they didn't maybe want to remove themselves from that process, or were they trying to look like someone that they're not? And most often, they always seem to compare themselves to white women, that they find themselves, because the media produces white women as beautiful and sexy, so did they not feel that they were sexy and beautiful? Is that the original reason for straightening of the hair?
Okay, and before that is responded to, and that's a good point, Dr. Dyer, and a big discussion. So that tells me right there we're going to have to carry this over to tomorrow's show as well.
Right.
We're
going
to have some more to do on this topic. I would love to have the two ladies that are on our panel today, Nicole Marie and Takiya, but not to speak on behalf of all women. That would be unfair
to you guys.
But just to give your perspective on this, and then I'm going to weigh in on this at the end because I've got a humdinger for you on this one. So you guys that are tuned in, you don't want to go anywhere on this. But Takiya, Nicole Marie, you know, I'll let you guys, since Takiya, you're our guest today, if you want to lead off on just your perspective on how you feel. And we, you know, speak your piece, guys. Do not feel that you need to weigh in and be politically this and that. If you have something that you feel, this is the place to speak it. Okay? So feel free to go ahead. Anything you want to say on this as our guest today on the Hair Radio Morning Show?
Absolutely. So am I answering Dr. Dyer's question? Can I start there?
Start wherever you'd like.
Sure. Okay.
So yes.
With the hair industry and the straightening of the hair, my hair is straightened. I have a relaxer, and so listening or reading the article and listening to the conversations. Why I straighten my hair? I straighten my hair because, I think when I started to straighten my hair, let me say that. That it had something to do with me being in the military, and my natural hair was not totally acceptable because of the, you know, you couldn't do so much with your hair. So that is why I believe that I started to straighten my hair many years ago. So I understand where Dr. Dyer is coming from in his question that he just asked. And yes, that was a lot of reasons why a lot of women straightened their hair, because it wasn't acceptable. If you had natural hair or what they would call kinky hair, then it was frowned upon. Not only that, with natural hair, there was the policies going around where they were firing people for having natural hair and having locks. And so that was, to me, caused a lot of women
to if they wanted to keep their jobs and they were straightening their hair or, you know, doing something to change the texture of their hair so that they could keep their jobs and maintain employment. So I think that it's a bigger, it seems bigger than what is being told right now. And also, we're not the only ones that use chemicals in our hair. So I think that that is another topic that we need to discuss as far, you know, as hair care or hair straighteners and things of that nature. There's hair colors and other things that have chemicals in them. So I think that it's much bigger than what the article said. And it is a conversation that we need to have more in depth with.
And thank you. But so now we get to the cancer, and it's uterine cancer. Is that correct as I heard that?
That's correct. But you know what, if I may, I want to get to have Nicole Marie weigh in on this. And then, yes, Dr. Paul Dyer, we will definitely, we're going to delve into the cancer part as well on this. This is huge. That's what I said. This has a lot of legs to it because I want to weigh in as well on your question, Dr. Dyer. But first, Nicole Marie, what do you want to add? Do you have anything to add to what Takiya said? And Takiya, great point.
Yes, I totally agree with what Takiya said, and I agree that this is much larger than the article about the study. I actually started out with a relaxer as a child. I had long, thick hair, and as a child, I started out with relaxers. So I didn't know anything about natural hair because I had always had a relaxer. And then as I got older, then I decided to go natural. I had a good grade of hair, went natural, and was fine. But I do see how, like Takiya says, as far as employment and so forth, how that can be an issue. We've seen lawsuits and different stories about that. How, you know, different places trying to pass laws about, you know, you have to wear your hair like this or you can't wear it like that and so forth, which is, like I said, a much larger issue. But in a sense, I do feel like the media, like Dr. Dyer said, okay, the comparison to white women and the beauty and the straight hair and so forth, I think that's also a component to it also. I think there are so many different layers to this to be discussed. And as far as the study and the article, they only touched on just a small portion of this. There's so much more that has to be delved into, has to be discussed, has to be studied. And I don't think you can just pigeonhole and say, well, this is what causes this and that's it. Because there's so many more layers to do it. So that's my take on it.
Okay, wow. Now, hold it. I want to kind of weigh in on all of this and shed some perspective because, you know, I think uniquely able to do so, being so close up to the hair industry for 27 years. And we've talked with folks for many, many years. And let me just begin this whole discussion real deeply on this by saying that when we started the Hair Radio Show in 1995, it was when the words natural hair were kind of just getting out there, folks had a very different perspective. It was kind of like power to the people if you had natural hair.
Right.
You know, and by natural hair, we're talking about locks and, you know, you just may have not added chemicals and things like that. Ooh. To your hair. And so that kind of was the first part of this whole thing on natural hair and what we thought of natural hair. In recent times, it has turned into much more of a cosmetic type thing, a trendy type thing where folks want to just look like what's the latest style that I can wear and this and that. So just cutesy, topical type thing going on. However, there are so many things and so many, and I hate to say the word layers because it sounds like a pun is intended here. There are so many layers to this, literally.
Right.
First, I just want to take apart a little bit of this. And I love Dr. Dyer's question because he asked, you know, why are, you know, women wear is straightening hair to begin with? And that's a very good question. And we've asked the same question, but what is amazing to me is the answer that I've usually heard over the years. And generally, I hear, we don't know. No pun intended, no lie. We don't know. And it's just what I was, you know, my mama did and her mama did and that mama did and my auntie does. And so that's kind of how. Now, with that being said, of course you can trace all of this back to slavery. I mean, it doesn't, you don't need to be a Rhodes Scholar to be able to do that. Let me just say that. However, when you talk about, white women hair or white women weave or anything like that, and you're talking about a European beauty standard, that to me is what the issue is that it is, there's nothing wrong with a European beauty standard, a Eurocentric beauty standard. The challenge or issue that we think that I have, I'll speak up for myself here, is that it is not the only beauty standard. And this is something that has been perpetuated over the years. It's been very, it's been very difficult to, to be out there saying these things without us really being able to explain them as fully, I think, as we're doing today. So this has been huge to me. It really is. And I just wanted to get that out. I really do. And I hope this is the beginning. And the other thing on this is that when you talk about the health, on the health side, don't forget the hairstylists, the professionals are inhaling these products and doing all these, whether it's dyes or other things that the report claims are okay, so to speak. But they're inhaling these things over and over and over again, doing so many, So that's the whole thing. And with, to me, how I feel about this is that I weigh in on hair being healthy. I'm not a big believer that I want everybody to be part of this conversation, whether you have relaxers or not, or natural hair and you this and that, because even that has different components to it, and you have different people and different factions, even under the natural hair side. We're natural, but we don't color our hair. We're natural, and it's okay to do color. So it's a whole thing out there. But if you can just become educated on having healthy, what to do to have healthy hair. And for me personally, I'm not a big fan of using words like nappy and kinky and all those derogatory ways that have been used to describe our hair. And folks don't even recognize that. It's become so much a part of our vernacular and how we self-describe that we don't even notice it quite often. But for me, so I don't use that kind of stuff. That's not something that I push out here, so to speak. I want folks to, I think you should appreciate your own hair, and I think you should love your hair. I don't think you should feel that you need to alter the state of your hair, even though that's what the state boards of cosmetology are. When you go to cosmetology school, you're taught how to change the state, and you may not wish to do that, but that's a whole nother conversation. So I get it with everything. I hope I didn't give you guys too long of an explanation, Dr. Dyer, on that. But Nicole Marie and the kids this morning, I wanted to really just get that on it. So on that note, Dr. Dyer, I know you had something you wanted to follow up on. I hope that I made some sense on this to you.
So you all did, and thank you. And I want people to really take that epidemiology of the history of when you started and how you felt about it. But now let's get into the cancer issue. Now, I probably have more questions. Now, when we talk about uterine cancer, we're talking about the reproductive system. And when we talk about the reproductive system, we're talking about who's being affected more often than not. And so I don't know if that is something that just happened or it was on purpose. So my question I have for you guys, especially Carrie, is that who is the scientist that is producing this? Is it predominantly an African-American scientist that are producing hair relaxers? Or is it the chemical company that is still predominantly owned by white America? So they kind of knew that this was coming. It's almost like I think this was – it's like to me, I think this is a long plan of hurting our community. Because could they use a natural lye or a relaxer? I believe they could.
Well, hold it. Let me weigh in on that first. There are different companies that produce, so it's not really like a conspiratorial type thing going on. However, with that being said, there are some companies out there who attempt to produce products that offer the similar type effect without chemically straightening the hair. You guys know you can apply heat to the hair, and you don't have to necessarily have chemicals. The issue is that it's a time frame type thing. Do you want something just temporary for the moment, or are you looking for something that's going to last several weeks and several months and that kind of thing? And that's kind of wherein lies this issue, because that's why they're linking it to color, women of color so much, because obviously the women of color would be utilizing the chemical straightening more often, so up to, say, four times a year or thereabouts, because it's not something you can literally keep doing or you're not going to have any hair anyway. So that's one of the reasons that they link it and put African-American women at a higher risk or in a higher risk category. So to me, when I hear something like that, if you're not using it that often, then that would lower your risk, obviously. According to, and who's the folks behind this, the National Institute of Health, NIH, has been out there. We've had many physicians on our show who have done reports and things with the NIH and have gone to school through the NIH. So they're very respected, but as you heard in Cheryl's piece earlier today, she really called into question what you kind of hit on, Dr. Dyer. Like, who are the scientists behind this? Because she, and I don't like to paraphrase other folks too much, but she was like, hold it. The scientists, maybe that needs to be closer analyzed, because they may be dealing with faulty, they may have not given it the full approach of analysis that she was talking about. That was her point. So good stuff. Oh, my. I didn't expect this deeper conversation this morning on this. Wow. This has been huge.
Well, this is deep, Carrie.
It's deep. Hold on. I got to work in Brother Michael Hopkins, my dear friend and a big-time host of the Hair Radio, Vet Talk Radio Show, that airs on Tuesday morning. Michael, we're kind of plugging you in here. Are you there? Are you chopping down on breakfast?
Oh, yeah.
Down in
Boston. Oh, no, I am here. I am definitely here. Good morning. Oh, yes. I have
been
intensely.
Because there's been some military aspects of this, too. But what would you
like to say? Right, and just like what Cheryl Morrow was saying. Even in the military community, we have to conform to certain standards.
Right.
And obviously the standards are not African-American standards in the way you look and so forth. But, it always comes down to some type of control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it always comes down to. And somebody wants us as African Americans to adopt a standard that does not necessarily have to be our standard. And it's frustrating.
Nor is it conducive to our hair textures.
Right. Absolutely, Terry. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And all of us here on the panel, we all understand this. Just like Ms. Morrow, some of the points that she brought up, and I took some notes. And a lot of times, yes, economics.
And
that's what it comes down to.
Economics is the bottom line, I believe.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. And, you know, some of the things, like you were saying, Karen, the study itself, like you both you and her were saying, even when you look at the study, it gave me a different perspective from just looking at an article when I'm listening to people that are in the industry that live and breathe this. And they're educators. Carrie Hines, you're an educator. You in the hair and the beauty industry, you are an educator. And we have learned so much from you in the Hair Radio Show, this whole program. And that's what this is. And that's one of the points that Ms. Morrow brought out. Education.
Well, when it comes to Cheryl Morrow, her father was hair industry pioneer, Willie Morrow.
Yes, he was.
Dr. Willie Morrow. And so we are connected to the top folks. He's the one, just to give you guys some perspective, he created the hair pick. The hair pick.
Okay, right.
As well as the Jerry Curl, if you guys remember that. He's the one.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
And that's where it happened in Jerry.
And so, you know, Carrie, it's just like during the era, reading about Dr. Morrow and the things he did for the military during the Vietnam conflict. Just him, a man of color, going to, he's not even in the military, he goes over to Vietnam.
Well, they contracted his company to come over and do all that stuff, to give that education to them.
And that was so huge. Yeah. A lot of people, you know, they don't understand because of the standards of the military back then. And like you said, Carrie, a lot of the times our hair was not conducive for certain things. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to continue
be. That's where the racism part comes in.
All night and all day.
One of the things that you guys are going to mention, I was waiting for it, is that in Vietnam, black soldiers were given disciplinary actions because of their hair.
Right. Dr. Dyer, you're absolutely right. And you remember like I remember. A lot of times us as African-American men, we had an issue with shaving, and if we had to get shaving waivers. And I have to remind a lot of the guys when we're talking about the claims process on my show, I have to remind them this is one of the legacies of being in the military as an African-American male. A lot of us had shaving waivers. We had skin issues. And Cheryl Morrow, actually, she brought that up. Because I remember that was one of the notes I took. And I was so proud that she brought that up because it's a reality. But we're always bombarded with this stuff from the media, from all of these things. Yeah. And it's always that way. And we have to be strong as African-Americans. And we have to have our own. And that's why, you know, once again, Carrie, that's why I am so grateful to be a part of this team. I am so grateful because I'm making a difference, and that's the way I see it. I'm making a difference, and I think we all feel that way about you. Is that correct, everybody?
Most definitely.
You guys are talented and incredible, you know, in your own right here, and we get to see that every time and hear it every time you guys are on. These conversations, we love having them. I've been having this conversation literally since 1995. That is the God's honest truth. It goes back to one of my first shows that I did as the host. Because, again, when I started the show, I had just hairstylists on. I didn't even host the hair radio show originally. And so the hairstylists would be on, and they would talk about hair and all that stuff. And I remember the question that they had. And it was, this is really true. And even if I play a show from 20 years ago, you'll hear it said, should, you know, is it okay to wear your hair to work, your natural hairstyle to work? I got to play the shows for you, because if you heard the response and where we were then, the needle hasn't moved that far since that point. We're still kind of having this discussion. Since 1995, and you know, so we break it all down, and I'm very grateful to have been a big part of that, to be the first to have a radio show on hair and beauty talk on terrestrial AM and FM radio. I predate the podcast. There was no such word as podcast for decades, probably by the time I got around to, you know, hearing of it. And so all of this. And this is just the beginning. I remember one of the first articles I wrote for the Daily Challenge newspaper in Brooklyn was that, should you trust your hair care to the internet? It wasn't even on the internet where we just talked about hair care. We started in those chat rooms, if you guys remember. That's when it kind of began to take hold in the early days of the internet. So we've been out there leading the charge on this. It's my honor to have you guys with us. Dr. Paul Dizel, we want you to come back tomorrow. Listen to you. You just got right in there. That's what this topic is so, and I think Nicole Marie, you said it as well, Takia, Michael, this topic is bigger than the hair community. And we haven't even talked about the economic side of this. Because what's going to happen if folks stop buying these? And this, the hair business is, you're talking about, there have been reports that it's upwards of $10 billion, with a B.
$10 billion. Wow.
Now, but if you listen to Maggie Anderson, and I agree with her and so many others, less than 3% of that comes back to the community. Yes. But that still sounds like a lot. But it's way less than 3%.
Wow.
So we're going to continue to talk about this. I'm hoping you guys join us on Friday's edition. And Dr. Dyer, I don't know if you've heard any of this week, but I've got to tell you, we've been just jamming it up with some of the great music hits from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We've gone and pulled out some real little-known songs, but some others that were big hits from some superstars, and we've been featuring them this week along with keeping everybody informed in the hair and beauty industry, and so we're excited. So did you enjoy today's show, Dr. Dyer? Was it interesting?
I love it. You know, I'm just going to go with what my brother Michael said. You know, this is education. And that's really, when we talk about education, changes the world. Hopefully it changes what you're thinking and how you're thinking. And it's just put in the question, and don't always look for a specific answer, but ask yourself, why am I? And then ask yourself, who am I? And those questions, putting yourself in what you call the internal self. And once you know who you are, it doesn't matter why you do it. You do it for your particular reason. We're not saying that you should not do this or you should do this, but ask yourself, how come I'm doing this? And once you bring that into your heartstrings, into your living purpose, then it's okay. Then you do it in your moderation. You do it for your reason. But when you don't know why, then someone's controlling you, and that's unhealthy.
Exactly. Well, listen, I'm loving this. Tomorrow we'll take a look at the economics behind it. Who stands to gain with this big news? Because this is huge in the hair industry. Plus, we've got some other updates. I think we've got some folks and some upscale news and all of that. coming up on Friday's edition. And we're going to jam. We're going to do a little jam session also on tomorrow's show. I have to say, guys, thank you. You're just outstanding. Takiya, Chase Smith, you're an author out there. Takiya, real quick, what's the name of your book? And Cammie Spa Party, of course, is her daughter's book. What's your book name, title?
Pendulum of a Mother's Love and Making Forgiveness, Making Peace with Your Past.
All right. So thank you, Takiya, for taking time to be with us today. Nicole Marie, out of Water Valley, my co-host. We'll see you back here tomorrow, of course. It's always a great pleasure and honor. Michael Hopkins, what can I say? The Vet Talk radio show, king of claims. You know, he helps all the veterans file claims for compensation. Dr. Paul Dyer, erudite, the king of knowledge. I'm going to just go ahead and put that on out there and perspective on so much. We're just happy to have you with us on the show. And you guys just knock it out of the park.
Yes.
I'll be back with you guys tomorrow as well, starting 6 a.m. Eastern. And I've got some news for you as well. We're going to also be talking about therapy and distributorship and what we can do to add money to your pockets, because these days I think we could all use it, and so much more. So we'll see you back here tomorrow. And, again, we're going to be playing some great songs. Make it we're going to start our outro early. Make it a very, very good Thursday. I think we just did. You guys, anything real quick? Anybody got something they want to say real fast?
I want people to tune in tomorrow when we talk about the economics, because in the black community, a dollar does not even circulate one time. So once we get a dollar, it leaves our community where others circulate at least 4 to 5 times.
Dr. Can I give even, I know we got 15 seconds on this, and I want to talk about this tomorrow, because guess what is the only industry where the black dollar leaves and circulates one time at least, and that's in the hair industry. We're going to talk about it tomorrow. We're going to break it down. We'll see you guys tomorrow, 6 a.m., for an all-new edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Outstanding, guys. Dr. Dyer, great job. Everybody, awesome. We'll see you back there tomorrow. Here's our outro, guys. Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our